Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7 says this. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Now, I want to spend some time today talking about conflict. It's perhaps not something that's really exciting to talk about, but the reality is that for just about all of us, conflict will be around us from time to time, if not more frequently than that. In fact, I read a survey this week that said that 85% of us deal with conflict on a regular basis in our place of work. Now, there's 29% of us that deal with it constantly on a daily basis. In the ebbs and flows of family life, conflict can often be a constant companion. And in the church, there's seasons where conflict seems to rise up, and the result is that people get upset and they choose to leave the church as a result. And whatever it is, whether it be at work, whether it be in family, whether it be in your church, whether it be in some other area, the reality is that conflict is something that we often have to deal with. Maybe you're in a conflict situation right now. Maybe you're not sure what that next step is. Today we're continuing our series in Ephesians, and we're continuing on from last year where we finished up at the end of chapter 3, and we're now into chapter 4, and we'll be moving through this series on Ephesians for roughly the next 6 months, and we're going to come in and out of it and do a few things and so on, and we'll finish it roughly halfway through the year. And the passage that we're in today, I believe, speaks to how we can both decrease the possibility of us being the cause of conflict, but also how we can best navigate conflict when it happens around us. Sometimes conflict happens through no fault of our own, and yet it's just there, and we have to deal with it. In verse 1, Paul talks about the Ephesians living a life worthy of their calling. And when Paul is talking about this type of calling, he's not talking about what our specific vocation is or what maybe our life role is, you know, that sense that this is what God has me to do and I just know that that's what he's leading us. That's not what Paul is talking about. What he's actually talking about here is the calling to the redeemed life, the calling of the gospel, the calling of God's story as it calls us to interact, and our story then interacts with God's story. Paul is talking about how we're called by God to be different. It's a calling that means we're different to who we were before. And to live a life worthy of that calling means we live a life that is different from those around us. In verse 2, Paul describes what this difference actually is. He said to live a life worthy of the calling, we have to be humble, we have to be gentle, we have to be patient, we have to bear with one another in love. It means we live differently to those around us. We're marked by the difference. Instead of contributing to conflict, our presence brings peace. There's a leadership expert by the name of Jim Collins, and quite a while ago he wrote a book called Good to Great. You might have heard of it. It's quite a famous book. And in that book, Collins studied those businesses that had achieved outstanding results over a 15-year period. That is, he got those businesses, and a lot of them were really famous businesses, and he looked at them, and he looked only at those businesses that had outperformed other businesses in their market by at least 3 times over that 15-year period. And in this study, what he discovered is that every single company who outperformed their market by 3 times were led by a person who had one characteristic that was in common with each of those other companies. And that characteristic was humility. And in verse 2, Paul calls this out. He's encouraging us to embrace a humility which means being gentle with others. It means being patient with others. It means bearing others in love. Now, this week, Kate and I celebrated our 16th wedding anniversary. Now, I know that there's many people here today that have been married far longer than 16 years, and you could stand up today and talk about your story of being married for a long time, and that's good and whatever, but I'm pretty proud of 16 years. I think that's something worth celebrating. It's an achievement. But it's fair to say that for Kate and I, it hasn't all been smooth sailing. I mean, there's been times when Kate has done something that really annoys me. That's all I've got to say today. Thanks very much. So, it's also very true to say that often I do things that really annoy her. And what Paul is telling us here in this passage is to be kind to those people who sometimes really annoy us. Whether they are our spouses, or our work colleagues, or our friends, or whoever it is, there will be people that from time to time bring annoyance to us, and Paul is telling us to be kind, to adopt these qualities of gentleness, of patience, and of kindness. And in doing so, we reduce the possibility that we ourselves are the cause of conflict, and instead we start to bring the presence of our peace. In verse 3 to 5 of this passage, Paul makes it really clear that it's not just us as individuals that are marked by difference. You see, the church is to be different too. We as the church are to keep and make every effort to keep unity. Paul says that we are the church, we are one body, we are called to one hope, to one Lord, to one faith, to one baptism, and we are under the sovereignty of one God and one Father of all. It's God's ideal that an organisation such as ours, or any organisation that's doing His work for that matter, moves forward in a united direction. We live in a society where we are told by our society that we need to be tolerant and that we need to be inclusive, and they are really important and good values. But what we're often asked to do in being told to be tolerant and inclusive is that we're asked to not believe in anything too strongly. We've got to water down our convictions in order to be inclusive, and it simply doesn't work. I do marriage counselling from time to time, and I think the way in this works, it's like me telling a young married couple to focus on their similarities and ignore their differences. It's simply not going to work, because those differences are eventually going to bubble up. They're going to rear their head and they're going to cause conflict. Unless that couple has an ability, a way to navigate through that conflict, it's just not going to work. And it's the same more broadly. We have to be able to be honest with each other. You see, navigating conflict doesn't mean that we no longer hold firm or strong positions. I think we actually need to hold firmly to our convictions, but only with a soft heart to those who don't agree with us. Now, I want to offer really quickly just three suggestions. Three suggestions that we can sort of take from this passage. I guess they're a bit of a commentary on it, if you like, that will help us to bring our own peaceful presence into situations where conflict either has or may arise. And the first suggestion that I think we can take from this passage is just to be humble. To be humble. We see in our society today, with social media prevalent, there's this narcissism that really emerges, isn't there, where it becomes all about me, about how people are perceiving me. I've got to take that photo on just the right... No, that's my better angle over here. And you know what it means? It's all about my needs. It's about my sense of worth. And there's this selfishness that happens. It's all pervading. But humility results in it becoming about the other, not me. We need to be more interested than interesting. We need to listen more. We need to speak less. We need to bring our peaceful presence by being humble. Second suggestion that I think we can take this passage is to see another's win as our win. To see another's win as our win or your win. A while ago, I served on the board of a local community organisation here in Gisborne, and I remember we had three applicants to join that board. Two of them spoke of their experiences, and they had considerable experience in business, in other areas, highly qualified people. And then there was another one who came that was qualified as well, but he didn't speak so much about his experience and about his ambition. He spoke of his love for his community that he'd not long moved into. And it became very clear to us who we wanted to have join the board. We could see that there were two applicants there that were there for their own purposes, their own ambitions, but one was there to serve. Two were not team players. One clearly was, because he was there for the win of the other. I think we need to discover how our joy is found when others have success, when we give and we don't take, when we contribute to the happiness of others. You see, you bring peaceful presence when you see another's win as your win. Third suggestion that I want to make, which I found really useful in areas, all areas, especially in the area of marriage, but it crosses over to all areas. And that is to develop rules of war in times of peace. Develop rules of war in times of peace. Now, this sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? It's war, you know what? But get what the saying's actually trying to say here. That is that ideally we would agree on how we do conflict before conflict arises. It's really hard to resolve conflict if you don't have a prior agreed way of resolving it. Now, for me and Kate, we've developed a bit of a language around this. We have our own conflict resolution language. So when Kate comes to me and mentions something in a certain sort of way, I know that I'm in trouble. But I also know that she genuinely wants resolution because she's dropped into the language. And so we start speaking this language where we start to resolve conflict. Now, if you want to know what that language is, come and talk to me later. I'll lay it all down for you. But it's really simple. It's really easy. But I know when Kate drops into that language, she wants to resolve the conflict. And because we've discussed and we've agreed on how we would do conflict, it doesn't stop it from happening. It just makes it easier to navigate and resolve. When it comes to this, and especially this third point, I think one of my key learnings in this area is that being in right relationship is so much more important than being right. Being in right relationship is more important than being right. In finishing up today, I want to come back to the last two verses of this passage in verse 6 and 7. Where Paul talks about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. And then he says, who is over all, who is through all, and who is in all. Isn't that a wonderful promise we can take from Scripture today? See, it doesn't matter what your conflict situation is. It doesn't matter how complex or difficult or challenging it might be. The promise of this passage is that we believe in a God who is over all, who is in all, who is through all. And Paul finishes up by saying, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. We believe in Jesus, who is Lord of all and Prince of Peace. And whatever the conflict situation you are in right now, he can help you to navigate it. Will you stand with me? I want to pray. I believe that there'll be a number of people here today. It's just natural to believe it. It's not something special that God has told me. It would be normal and natural that for a number of us today, we are confronting conflict situations. And it sits there, and you think, is this going to end? Will this be ever be gone? I don't know how to navigate this. I don't know how to deal with this. If that's you, I just want to pray for you now. And I want to pray for God's peace and His presence to come into that situation. So if you'd like to respond to Jesus, feel free just by lifting your hands and raising your hands to Him or holding them out. Open hands for surrender to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You now and we ask that the God who is in all, over all and through all would come into our specific circumstances and situations of conflict which seem so difficult and so complex and so hard to manage. And Lord, we want to ask that Your power would be at work. Where restoration needs to happen, bring Your restoration. Where forgiveness needs to happen, bring Your forgiveness. Where Your peace just needs to flow, Lord, let it flow like a river, we pray. That though we come and we recognize that sometimes in these situations there are things outside of our control that no matter what we do, it seems little difference can be made. We pray that we can be open vessels to Your presence at work in us and through us. Lord, take our fear, take our worry, take our stress, take our burden, carry it for us as we come to You afresh today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.